for anybody that listens more exclusively to the Cubs on Tap, and maybe you don't follow the rest of our On Tap Sportsnet network, and this is why we constantly tell you guys to do so, is I have become the running just subject of many memes. Always. I don't know why. Apparently, just according to everybody, there's meme-worthy moments.
It went Ricketts.
Yeah. Jed,
oh, my God.
Jed and then the coaches. Yeah, we all – you know what? We all miss the coaches because we walked down and we were hanging out with Joe from Ivy Insurance.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we miss Cubs Bingo, but technically, like, we were never waiting in line.
But as far as coaches, though, we got a very good clip as far as coaches. When we first got there, they had just got done interviewing Jed Hoyer on 670, him talking about his expectations and just everything like that. And
sorry, I don't know if anybody else saw that. A beer just exploded in my face. So apologies for
looking I think that's a little shot because you're not in the Mancini today.
Balls, we got you.
Not tonight.
Sorry. Not tonight. He might be soon, though. Still on the snide.
I think he needs to, man. This is how he breaks out of it. Get in the Mancini, Ron. We're sorry, but you're doing it again.
I'm telling you guys, we are Cubs on Tap. Tonight's going to be a wild one because Ron actually gave the keys to the two biggest idiots in Cubs on Tap and said, go ahead, have fun. What's up, Joey? How are you, man?
I'm good, dude. I thought for a second, I'm not gonna lie. So when you first told me you were gonna do that, put that clip up there first, and we watched, I thought you were not gonna put the actual intro ahead of it. So I was like, oh shit, did he forget? Like, okay, Ron's in luck. He doesn't have to see this later on. And no. Sorry, Ron. You're still punished here. I'm good, man. How are you doing?
Good. We're Cubs on Tap tonight, recapping two games, very similar games, which is kind of nice when you don't have a show last night, and the game happens essentially the same way tonight, except for a little closer. The Cubs pile on early runs. They've got 9 in the first inning in this series. Pretty much use all of that. That's it. They win 4-3. Astros keep chipping away. Jameson Taillon was great tonight. And they find a way to piece themselves to the end of the game. That intro was maybe some type of ritual thing for Ron. We got to get Ron off the goose egg. If you guys don't know, we do dinger picks. And I have the continuing transfunctioner from Dude, Where's My Car?
Man.
I have 10 already. This early in the season, Joey gets his 5th tonight. So he's halfway to me after Dansby Swanson hits his 3-run homer. But we're trying so hard for Ron here. I'm at the point where I want to like pick one for Ron.
I was going to say, that's actually not a bad idea at this point. Like somebody needs to volunteer. And if it doesn't hit, then he truly is cursed. Like no 999 challenge, no Mancini can save him if it doesn't hit, if you pick his pick for him and it doesn't hit.
I think we may have to arrange that. I don't know if we'll do it tomorrow, but over the next couple days, like he's got to get off the snag. Scott in the comments already saying there's more shows than Cubs on Tap? ? Who knew? Not I.
Never seen him.
Never been on a show other than this, I'll tell you that. Ron jumping into the comments already saying, no, I can't do the Mancini anymore. It's fair. But here we go. Ron, you're not picking. Your picking skills are horrendous. That's what you guys really mean.
I didn't say it, Ron.
I mean,
but
I didn't say it. I just said it.
Fits. the shoe fits, I guess. Just for a quick second, because
of course
five. Okay, I'm at 5. I saw the dinger guys. There's Mitch and Jake at 5. Now Mitch just got to 5, I believe, tonight. No one else is anywhere near, we are halfway, anyone that has any picks right is halfway to 10, and you have 10. So just for to pat you on the back, like 10 dinger picks in how many games is this? 24 games played?
Now, mind you, there were some days we didn't pick.
Yeah, we didn't pick like at least two games, I think, this season that we didn't even put a post up there. So that's freaking impressive, man. Like, you're on a freaking heater right now. You are an absolute heater, and I should be betting all these picks that you're doing.
So it's funny that you say that, because I started betting some of them, and I'm hitting, you know what I mean? But I'm waiting for that shoe to fall, because it always does. And oh, yeah. Now that the Cubs are so injured, I looked at the board today and I said it in our group chat. I'm like, this lineup is gross. It's just disgusting to look at. And I didn't even know who to pick. I went Hap just because he was going to get more at bats tonight. And I figured maybe, but I don't know. It's Wrigley's gross right now. It's cold. It's nasty. Like, it's just tough to pick dinger picks right now. And I think I'm going to use this padding to my advantage, because I feel like balls will be flying out come June and July, and you guys could easily make that up. Like, I mean, it's five games. It's somebody going on a heater for a week and me not hitting at all.
Well, you know what I wish too, and I know this doesn't count, but I kind of wish that there was like the Talkman two homer, like that counts as two, because
yeah, or like the Nick Madrigal, it's five.
Yeah, that should honestly be like 10 right there. Like, who can predict who can predict a Nick Magical? And like Boob tonight, like asking that question of,
oh, I liked don't know. Your tweet. I liked your tweet on that.
Oh, you
where
saw that?
He said, like, does he catch it? I'm like, no fucking way he catches it.
He's not even close to where Morel is jumping. Are you kidding? He's, first of all, he's like half his height. And then second of all, Morel can jump out of the gym. Like, no, he's not catching that shit.
It was hilarious to see you too, because I thought about it, but I didn't want to go. I went just between us, Joey, before we start talking a little bit about this game, because we do need to talk a little bit of Cubs baseball. I got real mad online today. Uh-oh. I don't know if you saw.
Mm-mm.
Between the Bears Stadium stuff, and then Q talked me off the ledge, because that stadium is just a disaster. It's my opinion.
I agree.
Bunch of idiots. Bunch of idiots.
And you're there a lot. So, I mean, if you think it's a disaster, then
too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, by the way, Christopher Morel, 6 foot. What is Nick Madrigal?
They call him 5'6". There is no way he's taller than 5'3". Okay.
Did they call him
5'4", maybe.
What's he on this? 5'8".
There was no shot, dude. Wait, is he seriously? They actually wrote him down as 5'8".
Ron's in the comments here. He says he's 5'4".
That's what I'm saying. There's no way. Like, he's not taller than 5'4". No, you can't even. I will not take that.
I'm making that the comment of the night. I started. He's 5'4". All right, well, Cubs win tonight. Use Jameson Taillon's nice start. They piece it together in the oddliest way to get to the end of the ball game, because Craig kind of has to. Uses our buddy Hector Neris at the end. your thoughts? Weird, right?
Yeah, it was interesting. I guess I'm going back and looking here at the rest of the way that it shook out. I know Alzolay came in there
real early after that. Then he used Little. He used Leiter in there.
Ooh.
And then, yeah, which Luke Little too, man. He's gross.
And he is gross.
Bridged it to what's his face? Hector Neris at the end.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, because I guess you definitely have to start with Alzolay, who's not closing now. And I mean, I don't know if that'll be permanent. Like, me and Ron were talking about this on a show, the Sunday Funday, and Kind of talking about roles here. I don't know if Council even knows what kind of roles these guys are going to play for the entire season at this point. I definitely think that April and even maybe a little bit of early part of May or halfway through May is going to be a total figuring out period for him. Because that's the hardest part to figure out. It feels like every season is the bullpen and establishing roles. And like the hope is, I think you get one more big name or a decent arm at the deadline, because you're not going to get one probably before that. But and then Julian Merriweather comes back healthy, and we know how like dominant he can be. But it's interesting watching Alzolay. I feel like this is like a confidence booster for him. And I really at first, I know there was two outs and there was a guy at second. I didn't love the move off the bat because I was looking at it and I'm like, do you really want him to come in with a guy on base and scoring position, even though there's two outs with his struggles lately? Like that was kind of my worry. But at the same time, I mean, some of this stuff could just be really fluky with Alzolay. I mean, I know he hasn't had the best stuff here to start the season, but a lot of that is just location and then also the slider seemingly flat at times. Slider looked sharp tonight. I thought it looked really good. And then you're talking about the other guys too. I mean, Luke Little looked gross. Mark Leiter Jr., man, like he knows how to escape jams. And I'll tell you right now, for me as just a fan, there is nothing that I enjoy more than watching that dude get fired up. And he probably could have given up a base hit there, obviously, without Morel. We were just talking about it, but Morel making that leaping catch at third, and that Madrigal would never have a shot in his life to make. But, kind of saved him there, obviously. But Leiter Jr., dude, he knows how to clutch up when guys are on base, and the dude still hasn't even allowed an earned run. So super impressive for him. You guys have been calling him the Houdini act or the Houdini, and that's what he feels like right now. Neris, I mean, maybe he can run with it. I know that's something that a lot of people were kind of predicting. I mentioned it on the last show that the fantasy baseball community was kind of predicting him to eventually take over the role from Alzolay. So, you know, they seem like they're kind of right at this point. I mean, maybe he's not the guy for the whole season or not the guy moving forward, but at least right now it seems like Council is either going to ride with him or going to play those matchups, because I feel like Leiter Jr. could absolutely be a threat down there, or the guy that I really like, even if he's not going to be going multiple innings, is Ben Brown. Like, I think he's got that two pitch perfect type of mix to be a closer. But yeah, man, just for tonight alone, I mean, interesting way to use the bullpen, but it definitely worked out. So I got to give Council some credit, man.
It's weird. I feel like we're in this like busted up pinna, and we have like Jeff Gordon at the wheel. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the radio don't work. The tires are old and balding. Like, but they just keep winning. Like, yeah. It's weird, man. Like, you could go on this whole roster and look up and down and go 50 home run guy out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, potential 40 home run guy, potential 240 home run guys out.
Mm-hmm.
Ian Happ, like, on one leg. You know?
Steal out.
Alzolay pretty much rendered useless. And then, like, your only 2016 guy who, going into this year, we thought that Kyle Hendricks was going to be like a top of the rotation starter. Not the number one, but we thought he'd be a two or a three. Like, he's got fake back injury now. Like, it's wild, man. Like, and I don't know how Craig does it. I don't know if he's got like some like golden horseshoe or what, but I mean, every move just seems so shaky, but they still win. Like, every single game is like you trot out this lineup and they get four runs in the first. It's like, okay, like I guess we're going to maybe win this one. And then you get a good pitching performance from Alzolay or from Tyone, and minimal damage from the bullpen. and you're singing "Go Cubs, Go." It's just wild, man. I don't know your thoughts on any of it. Like, it just doesn't feel. You look at this roster right now, and it doesn't. It feels like the Iowa Cubs, which I mean is somewhat a good thing because they're a very talented team in the minors. They're ranked in the top 10 in all of the minor league systems, but I mean, it still feels that way.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It kind of does feel like a complete shift from Council or from Ross to Council. Like, I don't know if that's them learning front office wise, learning like we need to start trusting the youth. Like, just by the last move that was made with Garrett Cooper, right? I mean, we can argue. I don't know what that was.
Just don't tense up and get a hamstring again.
I was going to get a Charlie horse here in a second, but I'm going to keep my legs actually stretched out now. That's a good point. But I don't know if it's like a front office thing that's like they're learning from mistakes here of not going with the older guys for too long and just going to go with that youth that might be catching fire like a Matt Mervis, who so far that hasn't quite worked out to what people want anyways. And I feel like he comes up to this level and just like – He presses and for whatever reason. I don't know what it is. You can
see it too. Like every single swing seems like he's trying to hit the ball like 500 feet, which you don't need that here, man. All these guys are throwing 95, 96. Like just find the barrel and good things are going to happen.
100%. And even after he misses, like you can just see the look on his face. It's like, don't get so down on yourself, man. Like I've been there, you know, as a like, you know, not former player, but like, you know, playing baseball, like you get down on yourself. Like it's not hard to do, but you have to have a short memory, and I feel like Mervis at this stage does not have that. And but back to like the Council thing and the front office thing, like I think it's very, it's interesting, like the lineup, they're kind of forced into this roster at this point with all the injuries obviously, but you know, pulling the plug out on a guy like Cooper who was actually having decent success. I know the last like few games he wasn't hitting as well as, you know, maybe how he started the season necessarily, but he still had a solid, you know, numbers. I feel like his OPS plus was like 115 or something like that, or and batting average wasn't terrible. And like you said the other day in our you know, text chat, hit runners in scoring position, like the guy just, he knows how to hit with runners in scoring position. So it does feel like a little bit, honestly, Juice, that Craig Council has that, like, we have now taken what the Brewers had for so long of like this lucky, how do they piece this roster together even with their injuries and still win games by one run? All of a sudden the Cubs are doing the same thing in games that they probably either shouldn't be winning or games that you feel like it's about to get out of hand because they don't have the horses in the stable, and then somehow they still win the game. I don't know what it is with Craig Council. Like you said, is it a horseshoe? Is it like, did he pull out the magic like toy out of the cereal box?
He's got beans.
Yeah, Jack and the Beanstalk. Like, what's going on here what's going on here with Craig Council, man? I don't get it, but I mean, I'm all for it, man. I'm all for it. If that's what you paid for was just some lucky horseshoe coach, then let's take all the luckiness we can get.
It's worth what, $8 million, that horseshoe?
It might be worth a lot more than that.
Got paid? That's $8 million, Council. Mm-hmm. I don't know, whatever.
Whatever it was.
Round in the comments, is this a character win?
No, because they jumped out. Sorry, yeah, that's a you question because you have the character win.
And they should beat Houston. Houston's just not. I mean, their rotation, they're gonna see a good pitcher tomorrow, but I mean the guy is like 50 years old, still like just unicorn, right? In Justin Verlander, but I mean this is just like the Marlins. You should win these games. Mm-hmm. They're not playing good baseball. The rotation for them is worse off than you, and I mean I don't know, man. Like. They're just, I don't think Houston's going to be a very good baseball team this year after what I saw. I know that's maybe that's too early to declare that, but if they're going to run that pitching staff out there like that, they're going to be awful.
Well, I mean, they're digging themselves a hole with being 7-18 at this point. So, I mean, you're not, I could see them just staying bad. I definitely can, with, especially with the rotation. Like you said, I mean, they've had troubles in the bullpen at times too. Like the guy tonight who came in and actually
Presley.
He pitched pretty well tonight, right?
He's been awful though.
Awful all season. So it's like he's like the Edward Alzolay for the Astros this year, who's used to being good, and then he gets out there this year and it's just random. That's the weird stuff about bullpen. I think that's what people need to remember as like Cubs fans, though, is like we look at this guy, why the fuck is he still out there? Well, it's because he has a track record. Like, you know, some of these guys have track records that you think that they're gonna get it back, but no, man, I agree. I think the lineup is really good for the Astros. Like, they're very cold to start the year. I could, if any part of their game kind of figures itself out, and that's one of the things looking into this series, was like, all right, still hit your spots because the lineup can still absolutely murder you, especially if they catch fire. Yeah. Like Altuve, I mean, Hector Neris missed that spot and made him pay at the end of that game. So, I mean, he made it kind of interesting with that solo shot.
Yeah, they're going to have to score to win. That's a division too, where I feel like, you know, the Rangers are obviously going to get back all those guys at the halfway point here, and Scherzer and DeGrom, but I mean, just crazy that they're playing that type of baseball, because, yeah, that's a tough division to make up ground in, too. It's not easy. Taking a little break from Cubs talk here and a little bit fun little side question. This one's brought to you by Scott from Iowa. Iowa, the home of Caitlin Clark. Beautiful. If Topman gets hit in the head, who's the first one out of the dugout ready to throw hands? My pick is Keegan Thompson.
Good pick.
I think Keegan's a good pick.
You know, the kid from Panama might throw down as well. I feel like Yan Gomes also.
Yeah,
like
he's an MMA catchers. Trainer. He's the an MMA catchers. Trainer too. Remember, he does all that stuff in the offseason for MMA.
Yeah, that's what I remember you guys talking about that.
Why do I feel like Yency Almonte likes to throw hands?
I mean, shit, he throws a baseball almost like he's throwing hands.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, I could see it. I think
Ron in the comments, I can't find it, said PCA. It's a good guess. He's got that, you know. But he's so tiny.
Dude, PCA.
I don't think he'd be first.
He wouldn't be first, but I'll tell you right now, like, he's the first one.
Spider monkey?
He's the first one running his mouth and taking his shirt off. That's PCA.
Okay. Maybe he'd come at you like a spider monkey.
Yeah, like a little cartwheel flip and be like, who wants it, motherfucker? Like, I could just see him like turning up that way, and then someone else actually throws the first punch.
I like that question. Little tidbit / teaser for sometime next week when we're not doing a million draft things over at Bears on Tap. Ron and I are jumping on tomorrow for the draft. We will be doing the full two picks for the Bears. But Cubs on Tap stream night going to come back. And we were talking about doing Cubs trivia for one of the nights. I was going to wear my great Vanna White suit and go out there and ask the great questions. But, yeah, we're hoping to do some trivia. So stay tuned for that. Maybe we'll find a way to give away some prizes or something. I don't know. We'll have some fun with it. Maybe we can snag an on-tap t-shirt or something and try to figure out, you know, how to get it to you or whatever. But Joey, we're not done here yet. I kind of want to talk a little bit about, you know, the whole Cody Bellinger, thing in here, and Ron, we'll clear this up too. Ron and I will be on before the draft. We'll definitely be doing a show. Talking about hopefully another Cubs victory and a sweep. But
Juice, wait.
Go ahead.
Do you love the sweep?
I love a good sweep. You know what you could do with a good broomstick? You could beat a trash can.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what happens when you beat a trash can? Off speed pitch. Slider coming.
Called it.
I know, right?
Buzzer.
buzzer.
I saw, did you see that dude outside of Nisei Lounge? Not to distract what we're on topic about. Yeah, I think there's a little video banging the trash can. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Bleacher Jeff was doing it too out there in the bleachers.
Oh, I didn't see that. Nice.
Yeah. That kind of went. I think that kind of went viral, but makes sense. We were talking about some of the injuries a little bit. Talked about Bellinger. You know, he's going to be out for a little bit. He's got fractured ribs, which that sucks. But any thoughts, man? What would you do if you had to put this lineup together to maximize your run creation? Because I feel like that's going to be the biggest problem here. Because, I mean, if you're looking at this lineup now, guys like Dansby, Nico, Hap, I'd include Bush in there, but I'm still counting Bush as like a younger player. He's still kind of coming into his own. But like Christopher Morel, like a guy who had been here for a while now, like those are the guys that like they got to step up. And then you're hoping that you get contributions here and there from Gomes, Amaya, Tachman, like some of these guys that, you know, are just going to be thrown in. And maybe like this, what would be really sweet is if a guy like Alex Canario just hits like 400 for like 3 weeks. And then you could look at it and be like, cool, like we rode that to get through this tough slide. But, man, what would you do? How are you positioning some of this lineup? Because it's not going to be easy.
I am right there with you. I'm hoping that one of these guys catches fire, the young kids. Like, just make the most of your opportunity. I mean, Canario's actually been really decent. I mean, he's been for the most part.
I don't mind him in the 9-hole down there or towards the bottom of the lineup.
I don't mind him turning that thing around either because, you know, I mean, you need guys at the bottom of the lineup that can still make stuff happen because guys near the bottom of the lineup will still get on base, and that's a good spot to potentially drive in more runs. Like, you're almost in another 3 or a 4 hole or something down there at the 9 spot, certain moments of the game, or potentially another leadoff spot at times too, batting behind the catcher. So I do like Canario down there. It's tough to say, man, what I'd do with this lineup. I do like Nico at the top. I didn't really care for – I know he hit 2 home runs last night, but looking at Tachman in that 2-hole kind of was like, yee. If I were to make a change there, and I know Nico's been an on-base machine lately and just racking up hits left and right, I would prefer Tachman back at the top and Nico in that 2-hole. That's probably the flip I'd make, because Tachman's plate discipline and just getting on base with walks, I think I like that a little bit more at the 1 instead of relying on him to make things happen with his bat in the 2-hole. But at the same time, if he's going to have the plate discipline and get on with a walk in the 2-hole, that's not bad either, I guess. But I don't know, man. I think like PCA – it's tough. Like, I want to see him play, but at the same time, I don't want to see, I feel like he wasn't successful enough this season in AAA to justify the playing time as well, which is weird to say from your top prospect. Cause like he could still catch fire, but I don't know if I want him in the everyday starting lineup. I think I would prefer, but then again, Mervis, I don't know what you do, man. Like it's a really weird spot. I feel like Wisdom is probably like, you're probably going to give more at bats to Wisdom if Mervis keeps struggling here, or somebody at the DH / flip him out at first, whatever. But Morel's kind of struggled too. I guess it was good to see a 1-for-3 with a walk tonight, but he's been struggling lately, man. We need Morel to step up. I think that's the key here, is Morel and Dansby, like those two guys, in my opinion, you need more out of those two guys. So good to see Dansby with the 3-run homer tonight, but those two guys in particular, I say you need more from. I don't know what else to do with the lineup though. What do you think?
It's, you know, and David here steals my thunder, because I think that this run for PCA is going to be much shorter than we think. I think it may end up being, you know, a little less of a long-term thing while Belly's not here. I love what I'm seeing out of Brennan Davis, and I saw him in a rehab start in South Bend. Brennan Davis looks healthy. His at-bats in spring training looked pretty solid. I think Brennan's going to get a chance. I really do. I think that this may be one of those situations where we're seeing guys back and forth like Mervis, Canario, PCA, back and forth from Iowa and coming in with some of these guys that are on David's list here. And Owen Casey, maybe you see Brennan Davis, the Slaughter. Like there's a lot that's down there that they can piece together too. And you know what the best thing about calling up a prospect is there's not a big book on them when they come up. Yep. So you can ride like spurts of like a week until the league figures out, oh, he can't hit here. So I wonder if the Cubs are going to maybe try to do a little bit of that. Maybe they can send some things back and forth. Yeah, I mean, it'd be nice to see guys like that come up and for spurts of games, man. Like, and we were talking about it in the pre-show. They're on a 16 straight game set of games here. And I think that there's going to be a lot of movement all around the roster. And that's adding arms. I think that there's a good chance that we see maybe, you know, a guy we didn't expect to see come up during this time. I think that there's a good chance that we see outfielders back and forth because you're going to have to piece some stuff together. It's funny to it's funny to say that, but I mean, they have talent down there. They can supplement some back and forth for that.
100%, dude. I would absolutely love Brennan Davis getting a shot here. Like you said, he looked great in spring training, and you know, if you're saying he looked great at South Bend and that little stint he had there, like I don't see anything wrong with that. I mean, obviously they just want to get him up to speed with AAA pitching and all that first, because you know it's a little bit of a jump from, you know, high A to MLB. But I mean, I could see that. I could totally see them going that route, because like the amount of time that he's put into this. And, like, the clock is kind of starting to run out on Brennan Davis. Like, it just is. We've talked about that. We talked about that in the offseason, way before spring training, how, you know, he's going to have to start to kind of make some noise here. Actually, we were talking about him potentially getting traded, right? Like, but nobody really wanted him because of the injuries. Like, he just wasn't worth what the prospect pedigree level of what people were saying, like, top prospect type of, you know, tout. But now he's with the injuries, he's way down the list, but he still has that talent. So it's like, dude, you call him up and let him kind of roll for a minute. I would love to see that, or an Owen Casey or something like that. I totally could see them making use of that. They're kind of doing the same thing with the pitching staff a little bit, where they're rotating all these guys. Like, look at Colton Brewer. I mean, like, that's just a random name who I didn't – like, coming into the season, I wasn't like, oh, Colton Brewer is going to be up here at some point. You know, like there's just all these names that they're kind of rifling through with the pitching staff too. So, I mean, why not do that and take advantage of allowing guys to – you can see some opportunities from in the meantime when you have these injuries. I mean, I think it's a good idea to at least see that – from what you see, what you have with these guys.
Yeah, I think the comments section here is right on. There's just so much in here that's such good stuff. Ron,
wish
in
I could
there,
see him. I can't see him.
Should we revisit the? Yeah, because I got the controls today. Should we revisit the Brennan Davis wildcard article? Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think there's a good chance. Hank in here talking about Canario's OPS. If Ross was manager, he'd immediately be benched. We saw it last year, right? Where it was like he came up and he didn't get any chance. He sat the bench.
David, he did decent last year too, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. He hit a homer or two or three. I don't know. He had a couple. David Snyder, Mervis hitting like he can't wait to get back to Iowa. He may get his wish. He's on borrowed time. The other guys we got there, they got so much depth at that they were willing to let go of Garrett Cooper, a guy I really like. So, yeah, he nailed it. What else we got?
What else do you think? You think it's time to make use of that Flash, like whatever you were saying, the Flash meme with Mervis, and just flash his ass back to Iowa?
He's going to be in the lineup tomorrow. I hate to say that, though. I mean, I don't hate to say that. I hope he runs into one. But, I mean, it's Verlander on the mound. It's a righty. Like, he's going to be in the lineup. He's just going to be. And they're going to hope he can run into one. Which, I mean, he's baffling to me. I'm trying to remember. There was a guy that was just like this in, like, 2005. 2006, that like every time he was in Iowa, it was gotta call him up. And then he would get here and it's like he'd hit his weight, which like it's ridiculous. But
yeah,
I want a little quick before we get out of here. I want a little bit of a quick South Bend update. Was at the game last night. Joey, I was talking a little off air, and you can chime in if you want to. I know you follow the prospects pretty closely. Just going to confirm, you know how I was the leader of the Kevin Alcantara fan club? And I still am. I still really, really like Kevin Alcantara. I may also co-lead the Jefferson Rojas fan club. That guy's a dude. Like, can freaking play. And I hope he's a Cub. I wouldn't put him, like, untouchable. But my biggest fear is that, like, he's in the package for a starter in July. That kid can play. Also, another guy, Brett Bateman. I love Brett Bateman's game. It's not flashy. It's not crazy. But I'll tell you right now, Brett Bateman, another nice, like, fourth outfielder. Like gap to gap power, and can play really good defense. I like him a lot,
dude. You've been getting me so excited about Jefferson Rojas. I am really happy to, well, not happy, I guess, in a way. But remember the dumbass idea? Actually, you weren't on the show. I don't think it was me and Ron last year. I said something about packaging Rojas in a trade. For some, I don't remember who it was for, but I said, or how about Jefferson Rojas? And that was way before I knew much about the kid. So, you know, full transparency, but you've gotten me so excited about this kid. Like, I feel like, yeah, it sounds good. Like, watching the highlights and stuff, like he looks like a ball player, man.
He's got great hands. And that's like, to me, that's one of those like unteachable moments. But I like him. And also, it's so weird to see Rafael Morel down there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's like watching a younger Christopher Morel. Like, his stance is oddly similar. I really like what I'm seeing. I thought this would be one of these years for South Bend where there's not a lot of guys that are worth. But, man, like, they got some deep, like, unseen – really low, like, needs to develop talent on that roster that, like, I can get really excited about in the future, because I think that maybe some of it's a little undervalued because there's just not, you know, there's just not that much room to talk about all these guys because their system's so deep.
That's it. I think that's it.
And great comment in here. By 85, talking about my guy, Jefferson played with the major league team more than once during spring training. The organization feels the same way you do, Juice. I hope so, man. Like, to me, that kid, if he can put it all together, that's a dude. Like, we're talking, like, lock it down at short, third, second for a really long time. Really, really, really long time.
He seems like he just has so much natural, like, because he's so young, the power is, yeah, like, that power, like, is insane.
And he's got, like, I don't want to go, like, all football-y. I know we're going to do the draft show tomorrow. But, like, you know, you talk about, like, some of these guys need to add, like, muscle, but they have the frame to do so. Like, Jefferson Rojas, like, has – like this wide, like just strong bodied frame that like the kid's just going to continue to add just lean muscle and find a way to hit for more power too, even though he already, and too, you've been to some of these games and like you go see them play in Beloit. Isn't there like certain guys that like you hear the ball come off of their bat and you go, that's different than anything I heard tonight.
Totally different. And another guy on your, you know, leading the fan club, Kevin Alcantara was one of those dudes last year, you know, like
you were texting about it, dude. Yeah. We went back and forth for that whole game. You were like, how did I not see this yet? This kid's incredible.
Yeah. I was like, Alcantara's just one of those dudes. Like, I think I'm right there with you, even with Rojas too, like watching, you could just tell too, like bat speed, you know what I mean? Like bat speed a lot of times is so important from these young guys because they don't quite have the transition of like the leg lower half, sometimes the lower half stuff and connecting that with the arms and actually putting it all together and getting the timing down and understanding pitches. Like, well, that's obviously probably the last part to kind of get figured out most of the time with a lot of these prospects is understanding, you know, it's a curveball coming, it's a fastball, I need to lay off of that, like picking up spin sometimes like that. But like, dude, bat speed, like Jefferson Rojas looks like he has that. Alcantara, we know, has that. Like, yeah, there's guys that just look different, man, down there, and they just look like they're a step up on their competition, even if they're hitting 250 compared to somebody hitting 367. Like, it's just different. And I will say too, not to, since we're on the prospect topic,
yeah,
you know, the other night when you had that tweet out there about or was it the Cubs on Tap account? I think you had shared it though in the chat about the whole organization, like just hitting,
yeah, bomb. Yeah, all the homers. Yeah, dude, that was last night. They ended up having like 12 or 13.
Yeah, they went nuts. They went nuts as a system last night. But the one dude who I was like, ooh, two in a game? What's mm-hmm. happening? You know who I'm about to say, Juice.
Mm-hmm.
James Triantos might be putting out a little bit of power. And like, he already looked like he had the line drive and that bat speed and just like the bat to ball. Like, I knew, I kind of like looking at his build too, you know, he's not the tallest guy, of course, but he had that build of like, I feel like he can put on some more power, in-game power. And the two home runs last night, I'm starting to feel really good about where his game is. And I'm not saying he's like close by any means to getting another call-up or whatever, but like him and Alcantara, those two dudes, like it's growing, like it's throughout the system. And that's why I think, you know, like to your point, South Bend isn't getting the love that maybe it deserves. Is just like, I think a lot of people from the outside, they look at the system and they're like, well, where do you put them on the list? Like, you know, it's like guys have to graduate and get called up for us to even put them somewhere. It feels like in a lot of these guys' mind, because they don't want to forget about the other guys that are there. And, you know, for Rojas, like that was a dude, they just were like, oh, yep, he's here, we're putting him up. Like, and that was mm-hmm. cool to see though, when they made those rankings. So, yeah,
they're really fun. They're in a good spot. I like talking about this stuff right now because with the way the ball club's playing, it's going to be interesting to see who they use and value in these trades. Because obviously everybody from the outside is going to look and want the Jefferson Rojas's, the PCAs, the Kevin Alcantaras, the Shaws. But you look like one spot down and you mentioned guys like Triantos and Brett Bateman, and you know, there's even Ed Howard had three hits the other night. And I mean, like that's a guy who can play. He's had some horrible injury luck, but now that he's playing, it's interesting to see him like somewhat trying to put it together. He hasn't been great. I've been in a lot of South Bend games. He hasn't been, you know, consistently putting bat on the ball to where he deserves a promotion, but then again, he's coming off of major injuries and he's starting to kind of put it all together. I felt like his plate approach has gotten a lot better. He went gap to gap a couple times the other night when I was watching. I was like, oh, Ed Howard, huh? Okay. Like, it'd be really nice to see a guy like that, you know, ascend and make himself, if it's not with the Cubs, a tradable piece to where somebody looks and goes, we can deal with this. Maybe he's through the hard part in his career. But, Joey, we're at the 45-minute mark, man. These are always fun when I get on with you because it just goes so goddamn fast.
Yeah, I had a blast.
We
just
mess around and talk. We could talk for another hour and a half, but with me being on the mic as long as I will be tomorrow, and I'm sure you got a day job tomorrow to get to, as do I, it's going to be a long day, so we should end this now. Before we get out of here, any final thoughts, any comments about the series, any tidbits for tomorrow? Tomorrow will be Justin Verlander and Javier Assad at 1:20. Hopefully they can win that one, complete sweep. But giving the floor to you for just a couple minutes just to talk about anything that's on your mind, bring up a fun baseball thing. It was funny, just real quick, my fun baseball thing will be Aaron Boone getting ejected because the fan yelled something at the umpire. That was fun. That was funny to watch.
I actually loved – I'm going to continue on that point for a quick second. I loved Pat McAfee's little breakdown. I don't even watch, like, Pat McAfee or anything, but I saw, like, this little clip, and he was breaking down he said his name – he said the umpire's name wrong, and I'm going to say it wrong now because I just – just hearing McAfee's way of saying it and, like, talking about that entire situation, like, what a freaking moron. Like, what are you doing? But anyways, no, man, this is a blast. I mean, we said 25 minutes or a half hour or something is kind of what we were –
it's just not possible when we get on the mic together because you got baseball thoughts, and this is where we talk about a team that we actually love and loves us back for the most part.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, not every fan can say that about their team. So, and we do love this team, and you know, they're doing some good things right now. They're making it happen. I mean, you know, series split against the Fish, whatever. That's okay. That's fine. You know, two right now you're taking against the Astros, two out of three. So you're in a good spot going into tomorrow to maybe get the sweep. Gonna be tough, obviously, with Verlander, and you got Assad, who Assad's been a dog, and we talk about it. I mean, you'd like to see him consistently go deeper in games and sometimes not take as many pitches, but so he has that capability of him to work quickly and get that weak contact, which, by the way, I just wanted to talk about for a second last night before we get out of here. I really liked what I saw from Jordan Wicks. I was kind of one of the people that was pining for potentially putting him in the bullpen because of the lefty arm that would be different, and you need a lefty in that bullpen. But watching last night, man, if he can get that pitch count, you know, work efficiently and maybe not go for as many punch outs and throw that change up as nasty as he has been all season, but utilize it correctly. Like, try to get weak contact with the fastball, maybe some of the secondaries, but then go for the strikeout pitch when it's there, or when you're in position to. Like, that was the type of outing. And I know he did have some hard contact allowed, but like, that impressed me last night. So hopefully he continues to grow on that, and then you have another real dude in that rotation. But and Assad too. Like, I want to see him work deeper because, I mean, dude, Wicks hadn't even completed five innings going into the last game. So, like, that's been a problem, and that's been weighing on this bullpen. So it's not just him. You know, I'm not trying to just single him out, but, like, that is a problem for if you're looking at bullpen efficiency. Like, you don't know who you're running out there because you don't know who's available sometimes, even though it's early in the season with off days baked in. Now we're going in a stretch, like you said, where we don't have the off days. So guys need to start pitching deeper into games. And it looks like so far with this series, they're doing that. So yeah, I'm encouraged by what I'm seeing lately, man.
Yeah, I am too. I thought too, like, if Tyon was coming back from an injury and in his second start, he probably gets a chance to kill that fifth in, or that fifth into the sixth there. But
Yeah.
It was, I get it. The nice thing too is there's a lot of speculation that on this stretch, there's a chance that maybe you get a Justin Steele back. He's throwing bullpens, did a little bit of pitcher infield work. Hopefully, we'll see. It'd be nice to have a little bit of depth back into there and have your ace back. But, Joey, this was fun. Cubs on Tap is one of two Chicago Cubs podcasts here on the On Tap Sports Network. We have it all, my friends. Bears tomorrow drafting the number one pick and number nine, we think, and hope. We'll be on tomorrow. That means Ron and myself and Q will be going through the draft, talking about all the picks until the Bears pick at number nine after they probably select Caleb Williams at one, which is awesome. White Sox still doing their thing. The Sox on Tap boys do so well over that way. Bulls ended their season, but Buzz and Gooseby taking a good time off, getting a little bit of R&R before they, you know, ramp back up for the draft. Four Feathers podcast, they had their funeral episode today, said goodbye to this season, but in a lot of ways, a lot of fun. Good for them. Future's bright over there for getting golf and bets, killing it. Seems like you guys are having a good time and some success on the bets and golf side. Am I forgetting anything, Joey? I don't think so.
You're forgetting that Ron needs to wear a mankini soon to try to get himself out of a funk. And we will promote that again whenever he decides that that's going to happen again.
Yeah, hopefully hopefully he can get one tomorrow. Be nice. All shows found. Yeah, thanks, Ron. Here. All shows are found on YouTube for anyone interested in the comments. Head over to OnTap Sportsnet for all your sports literature needs. There you will find all our wonderful writers talking about all the sports, man. If there's a Chicago sport news, we got it. We even released an article about the stadium released today that I loved all so much. Head over to www.ontapsportsnet for your sports and literature needs. Joey, this is always fun, man. Hopefully tomorrow Ron gets off the snide and we can all at Cubs on Tap move forward with a number next to our name. Joey, let's get out of here the only way we know how.
Sweep and fuck the Cardinals.
And let's go Cubbies.
Salud.